Tangible Assets Advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. Been gone again, but I'm not always sure you even know I am, because I know Tom's pretty good at playing. We can't use the word rerun. He likes to call them encores, which makes perfect sense. So anyway, I was out of the area for a minutia amount of time, and I just wanted to say hello, and I guess I can't really welcome myself back. That's a little bit odd, isn't it? Anyway, so hopefully all is well with the listeners. And man, do I got a stack of some interesting information. I wanted to say briefly, Coins Plus is the sponsor of the radio show True Wealth. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. And what I mean, sorry about that. Every once in a while, just so you know, I've had people complain about like pauses in the show. I'm going to be super candid because that's the way I am. I have a little button that actually quiets things down so you don't hear background noise. And I use that button to take a drink, or in some cases, if I have to cough or something like that. So occasionally, if you hear these awkward 3 to 5 second pauses or whatever they are, fear not. It's not your radio. It's not me. It's just the way it is. And it is what it is. And I do take a number of drinks during the show. I like to keep my throat kind of wet, I guess, like you really need to know all that. Like you even care, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that, I'm just saying, because there's actually been complaints about that. And in this case, I just thought it's important. Let's see, I'm going to get the temperature lowered in here because the recording studio gets very, very hot. It's because of all the equipment. It's a tiny, tiny little room. And sometimes I forget to lower the temp, and I have to text the guys and ask them to lower it. And so basically, there's a whole bunch of inside information you never wanted to know, but I just gave to you. Now, let's talk a little bit about what we've got. Okay, you've got your normal news, right? You've got your everybody hates Trump. We've got this terrible garbage going out on Brett. Is it Brett Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court Justice nominee? Do you know, folks, this started in the 90s with Anita Hill and Clarence Thomas. They came out after Clarence Thomas, you know, a very godly African-American man. And really, you know, you have to understand before, especially now, okay, before these people are chosen to be nominated for these positions, can you imagine the level of vetting that has already taken place, right? I mean, pretty obvious that those in charge, the experts, the whatever and so on, they're going to do some serious, serious vetting. Okay, if you don't know what vetting means deep research. It's processing somebody. It's straining. The definition of the word for vetting is straining, as if to strain out a gnat. Okay, and so when you get someone like Kavanaugh, who are there nominating to be a Supreme Court justice, this man has been vetted. Now, this man's a Christian. He's a believer, right? Now, he states, you know, during this time, he was supposedly accused of these acts. We'll call them bad acts. I hate to even refer to the accusations in real terms because they're not real. Okay? He claims that at the time he was a virgin, they said, well, that doesn't matter. Well, if you're a believer, you know that matters. You don't make a commitment as a young child to abstinence or celibacy, if you want to call it that, without very strong moral principles behind it. You don't just choose to be a virgin for no reason, okay? It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment to the Lord. And that is always what drives it. I mean, there may be a sector of youth that has committed to abstinence just, you know, without any morality whatsoever. I am completely unfamiliar with that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I will tell you that it's highly unlikely. Let's just call it that. I don't see it that way. So bottom line is, I believe the guy. I think that this is the new character assassination. We're living in the world of Big Brother. I mentioned momentarily ago that I have a number of things that I believe how we're, you know, Big Brother is taking over the world. I think we really live in a time when the Bible talked about you will not be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast, okay? And I remember it's interesting. Each of us live in a different era. I mean, obviously, everyone listening to the show now lives in a similar era. We've all lived either, you know, you could be 85 and you have seen, you know, you were born in the 30s and but you really became aware in the 40s and you've seen everything from the 40s on. You've seen the patriotism of World War II. You've seen Adolf Hitler, who was, you know, a black-hearted satanic force, try to take over the world. In a lot of ways, Hitler was very antichrist-ish. I mean, I can tell you, if I lived at that time, wouldn't it have been easy to believe that Hitler was the antichrist? There's sure a lot of, you know, evidence. And of course, I believe that Satan, you know, he has one goal, and that goal is to destroy the human race. He wants to control us. He wants to infuse us with sin. I mean, he literally wants to infuse our lives with sin. That's what destroys us. And it is, it's a magnificent plan and concept to think that this holy, righteous, and pure God created us and then gave us the series of options and choices to make to discover him. In Proverbs, it says, it is God's nature to hide or conceal a thing, and it is man's nature to search it out. The scripture actually says a king's nature. Well, a lot of times you'll see in Proverbs where he says a king's nature because he was a king and he was very wise. And even though Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, believe it or not, he didn't know everything. But what he did know is how to be wise. And there's a number of ways to be wise. The wisest way to be wise, what's the Bible say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the wisest way to be wise is to fear God, okay? It's very important to that you fear the Lord. Number two is to be open and willing to listen and learn. It's very important that we have an open heart and an open mind. And the Bible is very clear about wise men who listen to learn and seek counsel. And that is the sign of wisdom. Why? Well, each of us lives this short, little, abrupt time on earth. Now, to us, 70 years or 80 years or whatever you choose to live, I just had a client a couple years ago that died. I believe the guy was 102. That's a pretty nice, long, healthy life, right? But the fact of the matter is, he still died, and we all die, and we have this short period of time on earth, long to us, short to God. Ironically, prior to the flood, supposedly you get the Methuselahs at what, 969 years? I can't remember the meaning of Methuselah's name, but it basically meant that once he died, God's wrath was coming. And it's interesting that he lived longer than anybody else. Why would that be profound? That the man whose name, the meaning of Methuselah, let me see this. I'm going to see if I can find it here. Nice. That's a real dandy. I love these common day secular meanings, some kind of bottle of wine or something. Anyway, I'm not thinking I'm going to find it here, but basically it meant the interpretation of his name means he shall send his death, or more provocatively, when he is dead, death shall be sent. Okay, so Methuselah's name meant that when he died, death was coming. Okay, it's profound that he was the longest living man on earth. Why? Because it showed God's forbearance and patience. Why? Have you ever thought about the fact that no man in the Bible, no man ever lived over 1,000 years? Well, you know, according to an apocryphal scripture, and when I say, and I will refer to these occasionally, an apocryphal means additional or ancillary or extra, or and these are scriptures that were canonized out. They didn't believe that they were inspired, so on and so forth. Although, ironically, at the time of Christ, the Book of Enoch was the number one carried and read scripture in existence. It later became outlawed by the Catholic Church, who became the Church, and there was a period of time that copies of this book just did not exist on earth. It became punishable by death to possess. We can get into the details why later. There's many prophecies in there that appear to be the Roman Catholic Church, who happen to be the ones in charge of canonizing Scripture. There's a lot of information in there that is not wholly consistent with what the Church wanted us to believe, the Church being the Holy Catholic Church. And, of course, the Catholic Church claims to have built itself upon Peter the Rock. Now, the Catholic Church began many centuries later, officially under Constantine. Peter was long gone. Jesus said, on this rock, in other words, on you, Peter, I will build this church. Why? I've thought about that many times. I don't know for sure why he chose Peter. I know that Peter, He had some very interesting dialogues with Peter. Peter, in his nature, represented mankind. He was simple. He was, I don't want to use the word offensively, but he was ignorant, right? He was naive in many ways. He really was naive, and he had all the same questions that you and I do, and he made the same mistakes, you know. Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, walk on water," and he looked down and sank. He promised Jesus the night before the crucifixion that he would never abandon Jesus. He promised that he would never turn his back on Jesus, you know, and he did. And that's, you know, we look at that. It's really interesting listening to people talk, because people talk about, well, if Adam and Eve wouldn't have sinned, we wouldn't be in this situation. Folks, since Adam and Eve, I don't know how many generations of humans there's been, but there's been a lot. And folks, the devil was here. This was his domain. I believe God had some kind of a covenant with the devil that gave him control over probably our solar system, because in Ezekiel, it talks about Lucifer walking up and down among the stones of fire. The translation of that means planets, or it also means hand-hewn stones, hand-built balls. There's all kinds of definition. But basically, Lucifer had full control of the universe, or the solar system. There is, in my opinion, there's evidence there was life on Mars. I mean, Mars has evidence of massive oceans. And I'm not talking, you know, people say, oh, that's because huge comets hit Mars and there was so much water, as it evaporated, it left behind, you know, evidence. Folks, we have evidence on Mars of 30 to, I think, I don't want to even say, but I think 60 to 80,000 foot deep oceans. I mean, you think the Earth has, you know, you go to the Marianas Trench, we got 30,000 feet depth. Try 60 to 80,000. The other thing that makes these very unique is the salinity levels. Okay, so the deeper you go, the higher the salinity level in the soil. What does that mean? What it means is that water sat there a long time, and that the salinity it segregated itself, it separated itself. So I believe that, and then, you know, you've got the ties between the Great Pyramids and the Sphinx and Mars, and there's so much reference biblically to Mars. And in history, Mars is it. So I think it's likely that Lucifer inhabited Mars at one time. Some argue that Mars was an actual satellite of a larger planet, which would now be the residue that we see in the asteroid belt. Okay, something very crazy, foolish that you'll hear often is that there is not enough debris in the asteroid belt to have created a planet. Well, of course there's not. If it truly exploded, like the Bible says, the destruction of Rahab, yet the debris would scatter throughout the universe, right? A certain portion of it would be drawn back in the form of comets or asteroids based on its orbital ellipse, or its elliptical orbit, I should call it. And then, you know, other than that, a majority of it's gone. It's gone. And then when they try to make calculations and say, well, you know, this percentage would have blown away and this percentage would have been left behind, I say phooey. If something really blows up, And it's traveling in outer space with enough force and speed, it ain't coming back, okay? So there's I think, an extremely high likelihood that the asteroid belt is the remainder of a destroyed planet. I believe that our solar system was created intact. I believe that it was perfect and beautiful. And folks, if you think of the grandeur of the Earth, where I just was, I just took a short little trip to Mexico just to get away. And I was sitting in my room looking at the ocean. And as far as the eye can see, you can barely even detect the curvature of the Earth. The massive size of the Earth is just so far beyond us, so far beyond our comprehension. It's unheard of. It's incredible. There's so much room left out there. So it is what it is. So God had some kind of a covenant, I believe, with Lucifer, and he honored that, and he was able to, that was interesting. He was able to circumvent that while honoring it. In other words, when he brought Jesus onto the earth, he met all the requirements of whatever agreement he had with Lucifer, his greatest creation. You have to remember, before mankind, Lucifer was it, the most beautiful thing ever created. The leading angel, the mightiest, the most beautiful, the most powerful angel ever created. And it tells us that the hosts sang out. They sang out when humans were created on Earth. And we don't know the history of the Earth. We don't know. We know that at one point that it says the Earth was without form and void. And we know that he said, let there be light, let there be life, let there be this, let there be that. Now, where I get, and I've discussed it, and I'm not here to just go over it again, but it clearly states that the earth was in mayhem, and God made it incredibly inhabitable. He made us, human beings, very unique because of our free will ability, as well as our ability to simultaneously dabble in good and evil. Apparently, and I don't know this, for a scripture for a fact, but I'm sure there could be one. For some reason, the angels are only able to be good or evil. There is no in between with them. And apparently there is a considerable level of tiers of angels based on their authority levels, okay? So there was a group of angels that very possibly had no option but to abandon Jesus and God with Lucifer. When it says Lucifer took, X number of stars with him, how many angels, did he take with him? I mean, we're talking just crazy names. So back to where I was. This is sidetrack Kevin, but why has no man, Methuselah, lived longer than any other man? 969 years. I think that tells us of God's grace. He gave the word that it was going to rain, and by the way, people were like, this guy's crazy. He's building an ark out in the middle of nowhere for this stuff called rain, which means water's going to come pouring down from the sky, which had never happened before. They didn't even know what rain was, and this guy's crazy, and he's giving them the message to repent, okay? By the time all the dust settles, all that ended up on the ark was Noah and his family, right? And their, wives and et cetera. That was it. Now, we know that the way the Bible's written, that only the men are counted. Maybe he had daughters. I don't know. That's getting way out there. There's 104 different nationalities that have the exact same flood story. 104 different versions of the same exact story. They all differ, but they all have 3 to 8 survivors. And they, you know, and they come in different forms, and some survive, and some have men sitting on mountaintops watching the flood, which is foolishness. So much liquid came down from heaven. I believe that a meteorite shower, I believe what the Bible says, that there was a firmament below, above, and a firmament below, being water below. I believe there was water above. I believe it was shattered by meteorites, and that those meteorites immediately turned to water. They started to cover the earth with rain. I believe that the shattering of that outer shell, a.k.a. firmament, immediately opened up holes in the firmament, which allowed outer space air that gets to 0 degrees Kelvin, which is 273 degrees below zero, either Fahrenheit, I believe, which would explain why we find animals frozen in their standing position, still chewing on food, because if you got hit with something so cold so fast, you're done. And so I believe that is how it all went down. And I it's just my belief. Where the dinosaurs come in, there are countless scenarios of that. Some say Lucifer had the domain of the earth. Those were his creation. We don't know for sure. We do know that in the book of Job, he talks about Leviathan and Behemoth, two massive, massive beasts that roamed the earth that were very powerful. There is countless references. And when I say countless, I mean uncountable references to dragons on the earth. Dragons were real. Okay, they existed. They were here. And the last one supposedly was killed in the 1500s, and it was sick. And supposedly a guy was carrying it around in a, you know, some kind of a circus apparatus until it got so sick and stinky and it died. And, you know, you can say sad, and that is sad. But for some reason, dragons were pretty impressive. They could breathe fire, you know, etc. It also talks about Leviathan and Behemoth. I believe it's Leviathan that can breathe, that could swim like crazy and breathe fire out its nostrils, etc. And so post-flood, there was, if you believe Job is a post-flood book, there is plenty of evidence that there were at least Behemoth, Leviathan, and we have record of dragons on the earth post-flood. So we've got that. As far as the actual dinosaurs themselves, I'm not sure. I don't know what to believe. I know that under Antarctica, they have found palm trees. Now, you and I both know where palm trees grow in the tropics. And they're huge, and everything that grew before the Great Flood was massive, just massive, because if we had the outer firmament, as the Bible says, we had a blockage of cosmic rays. Cosmic and UV rays were blocked. We had the ability to contain a greenhouse effect, which meant that you'd have a uniform temperature. The outer shell would capture heat and increase the heat. Probably, very likely, there was temperature regulators. It says that God misted the earth. The largest pumpkins on earth are produced from a guy, I believe it's the Creation Institute, where he creates pumpkins that are like 1,200 pounds. He creates tomatoes the size of pumpkins, just using what he believes the Bible says what was there during the time. So the Bible is very clear that when God created plants, that they were all good for herb or food or medicine, etc. It was after the flood that maybe weeds grew up, or, you know, we don't know. We know there was massive tectonic plate shifting. There was probably most likely a Pangaea, which is one centralized piece of land, which began to come apart, which would be consistent with the Bible telling us in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided, etc., so on and so forth. So that's sort of where that is. So back to the Methuselah thing. Why has no man lived over 1,000 years? Because it says in the Bible, this is what comes from an apocryphal scripture from the book of Adam and Eve, which I really like and enjoy. I actually believe that there's huge translation issues. Many of these scriptures were written in the Essene sect of ancient Hebrew, okay? So the way they counted days was crazy. Jesus was executed at sunset on Friday, and he was resurrected at sunrise on Sunday, okay? Now, how is that 3 days? He said he'd be in the grave for 3 days. If he died at sunset, that's the beginning of day one. If you give that 24 hours to sunset on Saturday, that's two, well, really, I shouldn't be doing this because Shabbat, or Saturday, has always been the holy day that we are to honor according to Scripture. Now, we've got ten commandments that we are to obey. The one that we've chosen to ignore the most is the fourth or the sixth commandment, where we have to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. We really aren't doing that, are we? The Sabbath is Shabbat. It's Saturday. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, okay? Just letting you know that. I don't disagree with a lot of their scripture, a lot of their theology. Some of it I don't see eye to eye on, and I hope you're not offended, because there are so many different denominations out there. What I do get a little bit bent out of shape with other sects of religion, Christianity, is the theory that if you don't adhere to their belief system, you will not be saved or go to heaven. They believe, a lot of these, that it's them and them alone. And that is completely inconsistent with the way Jesus described what happened when the Jews rejected his message. He passed his grace to the Gentiles. In Acts 21 or 22, they have what's called the four edicts, which breaks down exactly what a non-believer or Gentile was to do. And it was so far less legalistic than the Jews, it's not even worth mentioning here. It was just very simple. And it probably applied to the day. It said, don't eat the blood of strangled animals, and don't drink the blood, and blah, blah, blah. And the only reason I say that, and this is one of those facts that I would prefer to not have to explain to you, but it's very sad. I don't know quite how to put it with any tact. But they used to try to terrify the animals before they executed them. And they did it, and I'm sorry to be telling you this. This is just a fact, so please don't hold this against me. I love life. I love God's creation. I love it. And I know there's guys who love to hunt. I grew up in Montana as a hunter. I knew no else. Since my faith has grown, and this is just me, God has shown me more of an appreciation for his life. Now, for the life he created. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't get in situations where herds get too thick and we need to thin them out. The problem with hunting is we're not killing the weak, okay? Nature kills the weak. A lion chases an antelope herd, and which what does it kill? It kills the young, the weak, the lame, the maimed, right? It cleans out the herd, leaving the strong. Hunters, human hunting, on the other hand, tends to kill the strongest and the biggest. And I have a friend who talked about spending years looking for this specific elk. I'm not positive. I believe it was a monarch or a royal, 7 or 8 tines or horns or whatever you want to call them. And apparently he spent years going for this thing. He finally got it. He said that hunting year was the weirdest year ever because all of the rest of the elk laid down and went into mourning, and you can hear him weeping and wailing for a very long time. And it made it hard to hunt because they just kind of hunkered down and gave up. They were very disappointed. And these are herd animals. I believe that mammals have a much higher level of knowledge and recognition than we give them credit for. We assume they're dumb like fish. Interestingly enough, Jesus fed us fish. Why? Well, fish have a nervous system that does not respond to pain. Now, you might say, well, how would you know? Well, I can only tell you what the scientists have told us. And the scientists have told us that they've done study upon study upon study that shows that a fish's response to external physical stimuli, okay, is responded to or reacted to or processed cerebrally in exactly the same manner. In other words, if you scare a fish, if you strike a fish, no matter what you do, a fish takes care of itself. It responds instinctually. One of the coolest things you'll ever see is if you're snorkeling or deep sea diving, scuba diving, you'll see these massive school of fish, literally thousands of fish that will move in perfect synchronicity. If one turns, they all turn. How do they know that? How do they do that? Can't answer that question for you. Wouldn't want to try. But definitely part of God's creation. Very, very, very impressive again. So here we go. Back to where I was. Methuselah only lived 969 years because the Bible says that if you eat of this fruit in this day, God said, in this day, you will surely die. Okay? Well, what is the definition of a day? We've got two biblical definitions. One is the sunrise to sunset definition. So that's the no-brainer. The other one says, 1,000 years to God is a day to man, and 1,000 years to man is a day to God. And I just believe that had man lived over 1,000 years, you'd get into the convolution over what's a day. And also, God destroyed the earth at the time of the flood because of our sin. Under the circumstances, we tended to fall deeply into sin. Okay? I mean, mankind, humanity, whatever you'd prefer to refer to it as, definitely fell prey to sin, I guess. And the longer we were on this earth, the worse the sin became. And so God chose to eradicate it. I was reading the other day in the book of Adam and Eve where the watchers, which were sent to watch over Adam and Eve, the very first humanoids or human beings on earth, God gave protection to, in my opinion, for a very simple reason. That was to preserve them. Why? Because he needed to preserve this race enough to reproduce to a point where they would eventually be able to handle and function on their own. And Lucifer had a great desire to destroy them. So there's books of all kinds of stuff out there, you know, that we can look at and figure out all different kinds of designs and things like that. So anyway, we'll leave it at that. Just realize that my opinion is that God could not, did not, would not let Methuselah live past 1,000 years for the simple fact that as a day is to God, so is 1,000 years to man, blah, blah, blah. And in this day you shall surely die. And it just appears that that's the cutoff. That's a long time, folks. Man could accomplish a lot. I'm afraid that life was pretty good. You could eat whatever you wanted. Everything was herb or food. There is the Pangea theory I've mentioned previously, which is the one piece of land which spun into becoming many pieces of land. There are very, very old maps that show substantially different distances between continents. And so we know that there's still tectonic plate shifting going on. This is why we get earthquakes. And despite the fact that the Bible says at the end times, Jesus says in Matthew 24, earthquakes shall increase. And, you know, man's sin shall just abound. And this, my friends, is where I believe we are right now. I believe that we are sitting in a situation where we are surrounded, saturated by friends. I just spoke with a friend who had spoken with another friend who's an attorney. And he said, it's getting so hard to deal with the bureaucrats at these government agencies because they are not adhering to or seeking or desiring what we would refer to as the spirit of the law. They are adhering to a series of rules and regs that is making it's making a lot of what we do very difficult. I'll just put it that way. And I can tell you that I personally have been through it myself. I've done a lot of construction. In fact, too much, to the point where I have construction phobia. I'm going to throw this out there. If you know, this is probably risky, but I've made it clear that we were, you know, transferring ownership of homes. I've sold a couple homes. I've sold some properties. I'm realigning and rearranging my financial position. I'm putting a substantial amount of my wealth into gold and silver and related items like circulated silver dollars and things like that. I'm doing it. Why? For the very simple fact that I believe that's what's going to be necessary to survive what is coming. I believe that the cost of construction has gone through the roof. The cost of housing has gone through the roof. All of it is designed by socialists and socialism. It's all designed to destroy us, okay? It's Satan's way of ruining the earth. Now, I have a lot of notes here that I think I need to get to. My son helped me put them together, and I'm babbling about everything else but that. I think it is very important that you understand the world that we're living in today, okay? The world we're living in today is prophesied as a time when, you know, Daniel said, when knowledge shall increase and people shall travel to and fro, okay? So you think knowledge shall increase, that means you and I have more information, that we're smarter. No. Knowledge shall increase means there is so much information accessible at our fingertips, it is unbelievable, okay? Absolutely unbelievable. And that is where I believe we are either at or heading, okay? So Daniel's prophecy of knowledge increasing people traveling to and fro is, in my opinion, here and now, okay? Now, how accelerated will it become? How extreme will it become? These are all questions that I cannot answer for you. One that really crosses my mind is, how far does God let this go? It's scary, isn't it? Because when you think of the tyrannical leadership that has lasted in the past, now, I know all about the pre-trib rapture theology, that we don't have to worry about it because we're going to be out of here. Personally, I don't buy into it. I believe that Jesus in Matthew 24 and 5 made it very clear that we're going through the tribulation. Okay? Now, you can disagree with me. That's great. You're welcome to do so. I do not want to part with you as friends or fellow believers. I do not want that to ever become a separating factor between us. I do not believe it ever should. I personally believe that it is an ancillary doctrine that has nothing to do with the Apostles' Creed, which is relevant to whether or not we are saved and going to heaven. Okay? So, however, we live in a time when knowledge shall increase and people shall travel to and fro. Now, the whole point of all of it is not that we just travel to and fro, but that we do it rapidly. I can't believe when I fly the number of people that fly. I cannot believe the number of planes that has increased. The level, the volume is absurd. It's insane. It's beyond comprehension, is it not? I think you would probably agree with me that we are in a time that is astounding, to put it lightly, right? I mean, pretty serious. We've got knowledge at our fingertips because of Google that is a little bit scary. Why? One reason that I really find to be troublesome is the fact that we are so dependent upon it that we don't know whether what we're reading is truth or not. Now, we know that the CEO of Google was there multiple times at the White House, etc. So basically, Daniel, I tried to look it up. My computer doesn't want to cooperate. It wants to play Slow Boat to China, and I will probably not be using it. So I'm going to jump on board here and see if I can find something else. And I'm not going to be able to. So what I'm going to do now is let me try one more thing. I'm looking at, I got so much cool information. I wish I could cover it all with you about how God's blessed America, etc. So let me check one thing here. I'm sorry, I don't mean to hold you up, but I've just got to get, I think Blue Letter Bible is down. Very frustrating when that happens. Today it's been down all day. Perhaps they have been doing some updates or whatnot. I love it because I can look up the Greek or the Hebrew of any word with a simple tap of a button. I'm going to give it one more try. Please cooperate. Maybe the Lord will help me here. The answer appears to be no. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on in the world. China is starting a social credit system to track its 1.4 billion citizens. Okay, what does this mean? I should have started so much earlier. My apologies. They are tracking everything, folks. Everything, everything, everything. When we hear scripture that prophesies that you will not be able to engage in commerce, we read it buy and sell, but the word is to engage in commerce, which really means to engage in the commerce society without the mark of the beast. Okay, China is starting, in other words, it's already implemented. They're just letting us know about it. They have a program. They call it a social credit system that tracks its 1.4 billion citizens. Okay. It will be, they say, fully operational by 2020, which means it's in effect now. And they're working with it, tweaking with it, playing with it. They're tracking every single thing you do. It's already up and running in certain cities and locations. It allows what they call the trustworthy, okay, to roam freely under heaven, as they call it, while making it very difficult for the discredited to take a single step. Now, when you think about that, that can easily translate into the ability to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. I mean, after all, what happens when the mark of the beast is an honor? What a wonderful way to do it. I never really thought about it before, but it's not just you will take the mark of the beast. It's like, hey, you live your life a certain way and you obey our rules and you follow our system, you get this mark. And when you get this mark, you get to roam freely. No more TSA checks at the airport. You know, no more who knows what. I mean, no more stop and frisk in New York. I don't know. But I'm just telling you, absolutely, literally, their system is designed to let the, quote, trustworthy roam freely under heaven, while the others, as they say, can't take a single step. The Chinese government also said, quote, the goal is algorithmic governance, okay? In other words, they want to govern people algorithmically. That means a computer program that is mathematically driven. They will use, get this, 200 million closed circuit television cameras using facial recognition software and its AI, artificial intelligence networks, to do so. Now, that's scary stuff. There are cameras everywhere. Now, a country like China, all they have to do is say there is no such thing as privacy. You will submit. You will give us access to all of your camera equipment. We will have, the government will have access to all of it at any time. You're talking 200 million cameras. That means facial recognition everywhere you go, everything you do, everything you buy. If you spend the night at a hotel, if you spend the night at a restaurant, how many drinks did you have? You know what I mean? Did you drink and drive? I mean, all these things. Now, you're sitting there thinking, well, that's good. We have to have some law and order. No, what we need is what Thomas Jefferson honored, and I read this here recently. I had some quotes pulled aside here just the yesterday that I was going to cover on the show, and I chose not to just of time, because of time, and, of course, I've used it all up. Thomas Jefferson desired freedom first and foremost. Everything else was secondary, okay? So we're out of time. This is what I specialize in. China will assign citizens a numerical score, positive social acts, paying your bills on time, engaging in charity, sorting and recycling your trash, negative social acts, and we're way out of time, you know, late payments, jaywalking, smoking in non-smoking areas, smoking on trains, using expiring tickets, whatever. You know, breaking the law, right? Or not playing by the rules. That's it. Okay? So be prepared. Big Brother's in place. Gold is it, folks. Gold, you want a private form of currency? Gold is it. I don't have time to get into it. Coins Plus 444-0044. Sorry I'm out of time. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye.